So today we're continuing our Grace series, and we have the privilege of Pastor Blair Haywood from the Heatherwood location with us this morning. Will you please welcome Pastor Blair?
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I appreciate you welcoming me to the Lighthouse. I'm thankful to be here. And I just now thought of my favorite Christmas carol. It takes me a little bit of time to process. So, O come, Emmanuel. So, love that one. Yes, O come, Emmanuel. So, I appreciate that one. So, thankful to be here today. And so, Pastor Fritz and I did the switcheroo this morning. So, he's at a Heatherwood location preaching on hope, and I'm here preaching on peace. Okay? So, we're going to look at lots of different scriptures today. So, I'll let you know what those particular ones are. But if you do want to grab the main one today, it's Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be in verse 20 through 22. All right, as I've been thinking about Christmas, the thought occurred to me in the last couple of weeks about some Thomas Kincaid paintings. Perhaps you're familiar with these. You know, these very peaceful scenes. Isn't this very peaceful? You got the snow on top of the home, and it's a warm place to be, and the horses are out there in the front yard, and it's just very peaceful. You can almost imagine yourself inside, can't you? You're sitting in your favorite chair in front of the fireplace, got your PJs on, you got wrapped in a very warm blanket, and you're sipping some hot chocolate. Silent Night is playing quietly in the background. But a scene like this actually is pretty rare in our experience, isn't it? What we're more accustomed to at this time of year is something kind of like this. Not so peaceful. Hectic, frantic, all sorts of activities happening. And in this case, people are crawling all over each other for the best deal on a TV. But also at Christmas time, we can get overwhelmed, can't we? With lots of different details. You've had these conversations, I'm quite sure of it. Whose house are we going to this Christmas? Are we going to do just one house? Are we going to two houses or three houses? And who are we spending time with? Or are we the ones hosting? And how many people are coming? We don't have enough chairs. We don't have tables. We're going to have to borrow some. How much food do we need? And all these details keep mounting. And it's quite easy for us to lose our peace. On top of all of the Christmas planning, the financials are due at work by December 31st. And so I've got work pressure on top of the family pressure. And then my wife told me the other day that the water heater's acting up. And so I've got to take care of this. And so it's hardly peaceful like the Thomas Kincaid painting. The peace at Christmas time that the world offers us is just a mirage. Or in the words of Bugs Bunny, a mirage. I don't know if you remember that. Right? It's just a mirage. In contrast to the work of art that Thomas Kincaid did, I found another piece of art that's in England, searching online. And it's called the Consumerist Christmas Tree. It's quite interesting. It's 20 feet high. It's quite beautiful. But it's made of 2,000 plastic grocery bags that are lit from behind. And so here's what this website said about this particular piece of art. This piece of art brings attention to how hyper-consumerism is increasingly replacing the religious and traditional meanings of the holiday season. And so I think that's actually a better symbol of the reality of the lack of peace that we have at Christmas time as opposed to the Thomas Kincaid painting we looked at earlier. Now, contrast all of what we talked about the peace that the world offers but can't actually come through on peace, with the night of the birth announcement by the angels to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. And so the heavenly angels filled the sky and they said, "Glory to God in the highest and peace among men with whom he is pleased." Peace on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. So God, our God, the true and living God, promises peace to those who will put their trust in him. That's where true peace comes at this particular Christmas time. So we're in our series. Pastor Fritz kicked it off last week, Grace, Overcoming the Emptiness of Christmas. Now, a little clarification on that. We're not saying Christmas is empty. What we're saying is that the way the world celebrates Christmas is empty. The incarnation of Christ, the coming of God to take on human flesh, that's so full. That's so amazing. That's what gets me jazzed up about Christmas. But this whole thing about the world offering peace and all these things on the Christmas card, if it comes from God, it's filled. If it comes from the world, it's empty. And I know that you feel it. You feel it from what the world offers. It just does not deliver. So here's where we're going today. We're going to talk, first of all, about the missing piece of peace. Then we're going to talk about that peace with God is the missing piece. And then lastly, we're going to talk about no more missing peace. All right. So first of all, the missing piece of peace. How many of you like to do jigsaw puzzles? Okay, I'm only raising my hand to be an example because I do not like them. I don't have patience for such things. These 1,000-piece puzzles, I mean, are you serious? That's incredible. The long-suffering that you have as a person, too, and endurance and perseverance is really amazing that you have to do that. But I did some puzzles with my daughter a couple of weeks ago. Those kid puzzles, you know, the ones that are like 25 pieces? I like those ones. They get finished quickly. But have you ever gotten to the end of a puzzle and there's just one missing piece? Does that not drive you nuts? You can't bring things to a completion. Well, that's what the world offers. You think you're putting all these pieces together. You think, this is going to come together. I'm going to have peace. But there's still just something missing. And in John 14, 27, Jesus makes a distinction between the peace that he gives and the peace that the world gives. Okay, so he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." So notice that. Jesus even signifies to us and clearly delineates between the peace that he offers, which is eternal and enduring, and the peace that the world offers. I don't give you the peace that the world gives you, which dissipates, which dissolves, which vanishes. Mine's an enduring peace. And notice that Jesus himself is peace, by the way. Jesus is peace. Okay? So there's a difference between the peace that God gives and the peace that the world gives. In the world, peace can be very hard to come by. Think about in the workplace. You might have a very difficult coworker to work with. And so you're trying to get along, just things are not working out at all. Peace can also be hard to come by in marriage. I mean, you can have differences on opinion, all sorts of things, on parenting style, on what you do with the finances, what you're doing with intimacy. You could talk about all sorts of things. Where we're going for Christmas, there can be a lack of peace in marriages. Can be a lack of peace in parenting also. You might have a strong-willed child, or two, or three. You might have a wayward daughter who has both said sayonara to you and to the Lord. You also might have a special needs child that you love them, but all your energy is gone physically, emotionally, and spiritually just trying to minister to your child, and it can be difficult at home. You can lack peace. Also, I think about our Christmas giving project. We're working with Water for Ishmael up in Toledo in that ministry that we're partnering with. They minister to many immigrants and refugees. Think about a refugee. A refugee has been granted status to come to the United States because they're fleeing their country, and particularly for war. I mean, would you have peace if you had to leave your home country, your home city, and come to a brand new country, which you're thankful for, but you don't know the language and you don't know the customs? I mean, would you have peace in that moment? Think of these people. And so to help sort of remedy our lack of peace in the world offers all sorts of strategies. One strategy that they offer is to run after peace. Run after peace. And the thought here is, if I just fill my life with so many different things, surely one of those things will sort of hit the bullseye, and that'll give me peace. And so I fill my life with work and achievement at work. I go to the gym. I go to different sports contests. I attend a concert. Maybe I go to an art festival, or I volunteer. And surely one of those things is going to give me the peace that I want. But here's the problem. You get so tired chasing after peace that you lose peace because you're so tired chasing peace. Another strategy that the world offers is to numb out for peace, to numb out for peace. And so this is binge watching. This is sort of like I'm streaming my favorite show for the rest of the day so that I can just get a break from all of the pressures of what I face in my life. Or other people play video games. And so you can spend an entire day playing video games. But the difficulty is you look back and you say, man, I wasted so much time. I could have used that time for more valuable things. And now you're stressed out and don't have peace because you've tried to seek for peace. And now, third strategy that the world offers is to buzz out for peace. And so you pick up the bottle because in all kinds of alcohol, there's lots of happiness, right? No, let me help you out. No, there's not. And your friends might say, hey, just take some drugs with us. Have some drugs, you know, take a high for a moment and just escape from life and the pressures that you're facing. And other opportunities that we have to sort of buzz out for peace, to try to get peace, is smoking. People say, man, I just got to take the edge. I got to step outside for a smoke. If I can just get another drag, that'll calm me down and I'll have peace for the moment. And other people say, I just need one more hit of sugar, one more piece of chocolate, one more piece of pizza. But the difficulty is at the end of all that, your health is in such poor shape over time of doing this that you lack peace because you're now you're stressed out because of your health. All right, fourth strategy so that I can thoroughly depress you is the world offers the strategy of buying peace. Buying peace. Think of a young couple who's going to purchase their first home, and this home is going to be amazing. Nothing's going to go wrong, right? Where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Or maybe they don't have the peace in their relationship within their new home that they had hoped when they first got married. Other people, you know, we're buying that brand new car. It's great to get a new car. There's excitement in that. But that peace only lasts for a little time. Some people buy the new guitar or maybe the new painting. And I get that painting that I've wanted for so long and I put it over my mantle. It looks so great. But here's the difficulty. I went into so much debt to get all of that. I'm into debt up above my eyeballs, and so I'm stressed out, and I lost my peace buying the things that I thought would give me peace. And so if you came in today happy, I'm sure you're depressed now. You're like, I forgot that I don't have peace about the things that he just mentioned. See, the world's definition of peace doesn't fulfill us. It's not meant to. The things that the world offers can be good, but they're not meant to fulfill us. In our teaching team, as we met together to talk about this, someone offered up this definition of the world's peace, and I liked it, so I wrote it down. The world's definition of peace is, all my circumstances are exactly how I want them. All my circumstances are exactly how I want them. But this never happens, right? When things are going really well with your spouse, perhaps things aren't right in your financial world. Or if things are really right in my financial world, perhaps things aren't going well at work. And so it's not going to be common experience or really any experience where all things are exactly how you want them because we're not God. We don't have the power to do all that. The world's peace overpromises and underdelivers. It is situational. It is incomplete. It is temporary. And so do you recognize this morning, perhaps, the missing piece of peace in your life? Let's move on now to this second point, and it's this, that peace with God is the missing piece. We're going to start here. We're getting to the inner peace later, but we have to start here, that peace with God is the missing piece. And so this is why where we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. I believe that the missing piece of peace that we try to find in circumstances and relationships and achievements and possessions is our soul's misdirected search for peace. Every one of us is longing to be reconnected with God. We can't figure that out unless God reveals it to us, but there's something inside of us that drives us towards God. And so we just think we're looking for peace in all these different places. Now, for instance, think about this illustration. If you were going to go to St. Louis, Missouri, you get in your car, and on this particular occasion, you start heading east. Okay, hopefully you figured out sooner than later that you're heading in the wrong direction. Now, getting in the car and traveling is the good thing. Our search for peace is a good thing, but we can very much be heading in the wrong direction. If you're going to hit St. Louis, you got to go west. And if we're going to have peace in our inner lives, we have to first of all start with peace with God. We got to head west in that sense, okay? So I think about my own life. I tried as a teenager to fill my empty soul with peace through achievement and recognition, mostly through sports. But my search for situational peace was only trying to cover up the symptom and not trying to cover up the root cause or to grab hold of the root cause, and that was my lack of peace with God. I was alienated from God. All right, let's start with this, okay? Now we're into the scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. We have a problem. All of humanity has a problem. And our problem is the problem of sin, and sin separates us from God and makes us an enemy of God. Merry Christmas. Find that one on a Christmas card. The truth is that all of humanity, I don't care what country you're from, what region you're from, what your accent is, we are all on our own, apart from Christ, alienated from God. We are enemies of God. This is not an all dogs go to heaven type scenario. We are all alienated and separated from God. All right. The scripture says it very clearly. Verse 21, although you were formerly, that means apart from Christ, alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. So the word alienated means you're excluded. You're estranged from God. We are estranged from God apart from Christ. We're hostile, means we're an enemy. Ever since Adam and Eve's rebellion against God in the garden, every one of Adam and Eve's descendants, which is you and me, we have inherited a sinful nature. We're naturally bent and twisted away from God, and that shows itself in specific actions which are sinful. My nature is I'm a sinner, and so sinners sin. And so that's why we do the things that we do. We have a nature that's bent away from the holiness of God. And so we are alienated from God. The problem comes in the fact of this. Our God, the true and living God, is holy. He's absolutely pure, white righteousness. There's nothing blameworthy in him at all. And so we cannot be in his presence. The Bible says, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, his eyes are too pure to even look on evil. So if God were to present himself to us today, be able to see the presence of God, he would be pure, white, glowing light, absolute holiness. And every one of us would be very low on the ground. So in the presence of God, our sin becomes quite clear, very clear. Okay, we'd know it in just a very quick instant. And so our sinful nature and our sinful acts are offensive to this holy God. His anger is justly kindled against our sin. And that's a problem. But thankfully, there's a penalty, and there's a penalty that was paid. And that's where we move into Colossians 1, 20 and verse 22 also. The Bible says that the sin brings death. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God for all eternity in hell. The wages of sin is death. It also says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. That's Hebrews 9, 22. So Colossians 1, 20 says, God was there to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Christ on the cross, when he died, shed his blood to cover over our sins and making peace with God. Also, if we take a look at verse 22, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. That's what Christ has done for us. Okay, now, I need to track with me here for a moment. Here's a great moment of theology which should cheer our souls. Okay, everybody ready for this? So here's how it goes. Our sin deserves death, but because of God's grace, the Son of God left his home in heaven, became a man, lived a perfect life on our behalf, died a sacrificial death on the cross, shedding his blood as a man for mankind, so that the Father's wrath toward our sin could be satisfied and his kindness then could be poured out on those who've trusted Christ. That's the good news of Christ. That's the gospel, okay? The good news of Christ. So there's a problem. We're enemies of God. There's a penalty, death. There's a payment, the blood of Christ. And now there's the promise, okay? This is where we get a chance to receive this good gift that God offers to us. And so that's what verse 22 is about in our Bibles. Colossians 1:22. He's now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So we can be reconciled with God, no longer an enemy, but now a friend, and beyond a friend to being adopted as a child of God. So from an enemy to a child, really. So by faith, I'm no longer alienated from God. I am reconciled. I'm considered pure, whole, and beyond accusation because Jesus has made peace with God for me. Now, just think about this. Think about this promise that you can be made holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. I was doing just my own quiet time this morning, reading in the Psalms, and I had just a chance to reflect on my own sins. And the fact that I am now made holy, blameless, and beyond reproach through the blood of Christ is really amazing because I've done some really stupid, sinful stuff in my life. It's a gift of God's grace, and this is how I have peace. So the promise then is if you put your trust in Christ, you can have this peace that he offers also. And it all comes through Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can do on our own. That's what grace means. God's goodness towards those who only deserve death. Romans 5:1 puts it this way. And this is a memory verse that are doing here for this week. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified means based on the merits of Jesus Christ, God makes a legal declaration that counts me as forgiven and now possessing Christ's righteousness by grace. It's his gift. And so again, when I trust Christ as my Savior, I'm no longer an enemy, but I've been made a child of God. This is how we have peace with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time, the coming of Christ. Let me tell you about a man named Tarek. There's a few from our church who recently had an opportunity to go to Senegal, West Africa, on a mission trip as a follow-up to our Christmas giving project. And we very much felt like we were representing the entire church. So thank you so much for sending us through finances and prayers. And so you'll recognize in the middle John Jeter, who's part of Lighthouse. And so John met a man named Tarek. You can discern who Tarek is up there. So John did most of the witnessing to Tarek, but I got a chance to join in a little bit later. Tarek is from Lebanon. And I think it's funny because I'm Canadian. So Canadian and an American met a Lebanese man on the beach in Senegal, and God orchestrated that opportunity. John had a chance to witness to Tarek. And Tarek is so moral. I mean, this guy wants to do what's right so badly. He wants to please God with his life. He works for the UN and some aid organizations in Senegal, so he's always trying to do good things for others. He's engaged to be married, and he has made a deliberate choice not to live with his fiance before getting married. I mean, who does that these days? This guy's really, really serious about pleasing God with his life. But he says, you know, I do all these good things, but I still don't have peace. I don't have peace. And so John was so great. So many times, John said over and over again, Tarek, it's a gift of God's grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. It's something you need to receive. And Tarek's like, well, I hope one day I can have the peace that you have. And John says, no, Tarek, you have to receive this gift. Christ died for you. That's how we have peace with God. You have to receive. So that's where Tarek's at. Tarek's thinking these things through. John's still in contact with him on texting. And so you can pray for Tarek that one day he will cross the line of faith and just receive, because we can't work our way to heaven. We have peace with God by the grace of Jesus Christ. I wonder, are there any Tareks here today? It's a common human experience. You may not be from Lebanon, but I'll bet you've been trying to please God with your life. If I'm just a good person, if I just put on a good show, if I can just help out other people, maybe God will be pleased with me, and hopefully that my good will outweigh my bad. Let me be honest with you. Bad plan. Terrible plan. Because none of us can work our way to heaven. We have peace with God by one means and one means only. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe God's revealed that to you today. You don't have peace with him. And maybe the light's going on. I need to trust Christ. I need to trust Christ. Let's pause for a moment. And if you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, let's bow our heads. You can say in your heart by faith, "Dear Lord Jesus, I admit my sin to you. I've not lived the life that you want me to live. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe you were raised from the dead. And so today, by faith, I transfer my trust from myself and to you. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." Amen. Well, that's a starting place for peace with God. And today, if you did receive Christ, you prayed that prayer with me, would you just take out your blue card as I continue to preach here? And on the back of it, or the front, whatever it is, it says, "My next step today, I just now invited Jesus to be my forgiver and leader." You can check that box and make sure your name is filled out, so later when you turn it in, we at the Lighthouse can follow up with you and help you to grow in your relationship with Christ, okay? So you'll be filling that out if today you receive Christ as your Savior. All right, so we talked about positional peace, positional peace. Peace with God is the missing piece. All right, you might say, "Well, Pastor Blair, tracking with you. I received Christ a few years ago or a few months ago, but I don't have peace in a particular situation I'm going through right now." Okay, so now here's where we get into no more missing peace, all right? So don't take this wrong. Don't think that I'm promising that now you'll have no problems as a Christian. It's sort of like when you become a Christian, it's Hawaii and Disney World sort of smashed together, and everything is just wonderful all the time. That's not what happens. And Jesus even said in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." See, there's where our peace is, all right? So no more missing peace. Here's the deal, though. Think about this. If my biggest problem of lack of peace with God is resolved, then peace can then come in the smaller problems of my life. If my biggest problem is resolved, then I can have peace in the smaller issues in my life. Because at any moment, if the Lord were to take me, I'm ready to go to heaven because of what he's done for me. Okay, that's the issue here. So let me ask you this. Can you have peace, for instance, in a wildfire that completely ravages your home and your entire community? A couple weeks ago, about 1 week ago, I was doing some research on Paradise, California, the wildfires in California. 90% of the town is gone. Imagine that in Finley, the neighborhood that you live in is the only neighborhood still standing. Everything else is gone. The west side shopping is gone. The east side shopping is gone. The neighborhoods in between downtown is gone. It's still smoldering. It's just ash. That's what happened in Paradise, California. There's actually an Evangelical Free Church in California, which is part of the Lighthouse in Heatherwood. We're part of the Evangelical Free Church of America. And I watched a video by a pastor there named Art. Now, I don't know how many people are in his church, but he said there's only 4 families in the church whose houses are still standing. I mean, just look around the room right here. Imagine. Yeah, go ahead, look around. Everybody's doing it, so you're not weird, okay? If you're the only one doing it, that's a little weird. Imagine only 4 of us still had homes. So there's an Evangelical Free Church in Chico, California, which is close by, that has taken in the people from this church in Paradise and adopted them. But here's a story. Pastor Art told the story of a woman who was teaching Awana. Awana is a Bible discipleship program for children and do a lot of scripture memory. So on the Tuesday night before the Wednesday fire, The memory verse that this woman was teaching to the children was this one, the Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of them. That's speaking of your enemies. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So a few days after the fire, the woman hears from some stories. She hears that as the children were in the back seat of the car, as their families were literally fleeing for their lives, these children, many of them from unchurched families, were quoting this verse in the back seat. Can you imagine the fires are bearing down on you and you're trying to leave? And you're quoting, you know, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God is with me. See, we can have peace in the midst of peril because of who God is. In fact, the Bible talks many times where God reveals himself as the God of peace. So for instance, Romans 15:33, you can see it there. He's the God of peace. Not only, as we've learned today, does God give us relational peace or positional peace with him through Christ, but he can also give us situational peace. And as we talked to the teaching team, one of the persons on the team defined situational peace as this: God's gift of a restful soul, regardless of circumstances. God's gift of a restful soul, regardless of circumstances. And so we can have inner peace, even through suffering. All right, so here, let's get to the nitty-gritty. How do I, as a Christian, have inner peace through the difficulties that I face in life? First of all, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking here about saving faith. Okay, saving faith has already been taken care of. Now I'm talking about the discipline of ongoing faith in God. The refusal just to operate in my own strength, but going to God and saying, I trust you in the midst of this. Okay, I think of John chapter 14 again. Peter, the apostle Peter, heard from Jesus that Jesus is going away and Peter cannot go with him. And Peter's frazzled by this. And so Jesus says to his disciples in John 14, 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He's saying, put your trust in me. Put your faith in me. So I don't know what situation you're facing in life that's rattling your peace right now. But I think it's helpful, at least in my life, to say out loud sometimes, even when you don't understand the circumstances, just to say, Lord, I trust you in this. I trust you in this. And so you're confessing faith in that moment. God, you're going to see us through this. You're going to help me through this. Help me to know how I ought to act and obey you in the midst of this. And so we can have inner peace through faith in Christ. A second way we can have peace is through the Word of God. I was reminded of this verse going through this sermon, so I'm starting to put it to memory. So let's see if I can get it. Psalm 119, verse 165. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. How'd I do? Hey, I got it. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Psalm 119, verse 165. But think about that promise. Those who love your law have great peace. And in the life of our church, I think some of our senior saints, some of our beloved who have been in the scripture decade after decade, those who love your law have great peace. Daily they've pored over the scriptures. Daily they've taken it in. And they don't have peace because they've been through some stuff and they've got life experience. That's true. But they have peace because God has walked with them through some stuff. And now they can say, Lord, it's your word that grants me peace. So let's be in the scriptures. I understand we have a reading plan for Christmas time. And that'd be something, if you're not in the scriptures on a daily basis, there's a ready-made plan for us. Let's take that plan and be in the scriptures, because those who love God's law have great peace. Thirdly, through prayer, we can have peace. Many of you have probably memorized the verse on the screen, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the, what's it say? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I actually had that experience this week on Thursday. I had a few days off this week, and Kids were at school, my wife was at work, so I just took some time in the quiet at home, a rare moment, to pray. And so this is one of the great promises at Christmas. You don't get many deals like this at Christmas time. You can take all of your anxiety, box it up, give it to God, and he'll exchange it for peace. Isn't that a good trade? And so that's what I did on Thursday. I just prayed about some things going on in my life, things in our family, things within the church, and saying, God, these things are causing me anxiety. And so after that time of prayer, I just had a sense that God's got it, so let's move on with life. But took the time for prayer, and I used the means that God offers for us to have peace. And so I encourage you to do the same. Okay, a couple more quick things here. Not only can we have peace with God, but also inner peace, also relational peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here's the deal. Our peace with God should then bleed over into peace with other people. Instead of me saying, God, I hope you really give it to them for what they did to me. Maybe you're thinking of that person right now. Instead of that, I ponder the good news message of Christ. God, the Holy God, the one I offended, sent his son Jesus Christ into this world to die the death penalty for my sin, shedding his blood on the cross so that he could make peace with himself by dying on the cross and I could come to him. Wow. If God can do that, and his spirit lives in me, and I should be seeking peace with the relationships around me. So that means that perhaps you need to call your mother-in-law. Perhaps you need to call your coworker. Perhaps you need to have face-to-face with your dad and say, Dad, I've been thinking about our broken relationship, and because I have peace with God, I really want peace between us. Can we work on this? You see, peace with God should lead to relational peace as far as it depends on us, Romans 12:18. Okay? And then lastly, and this here's the great hope. Here's the great hope. Christians have an incredible hope of peace for the future because in Jesus Christ there will be total future peace. This is one of the famous Bible verses at Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. I'll just skip down to the portion of it. One of the titles given to Jesus is that he's the Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so, church, I'm telling you, one day there will be complete governmental, political peace. There will be peace in every sector of society. When Jesus Christ returns, Revelation 19, the rider on the white horse, all sin will be eradicated. He will set up an earthly kingdom of peace. And then there'll be the day of the great white throne judgment, when Christ sits on his throne and the books are open, and then Satan and sin are completely done away with, and those who've trusted Christ will be welcomed into the new heavens and the new earth, and peace will be forevermore. That's what we have to look forward to. This is why we have a great hope inside of us, because of peace through Jesus Christ. And so, if you've never trusted Christ, there's lots of incentives to do so, but heaven would be a great one, okay? Heaven would be a great one. But let's also, as believers, let our hearts be encouraged as we go through the difficulties of this life, that this life is not all there is, that Christ has purchased for us a new kingdom which he is bringing, and so there will be total future peace in Jesus Christ. So today we've covered a lot of ground, but I think we should know this, that personal peace has come through having peace with God through Jesus Christ. Again, if you don't have peace with God through trusting Jesus Christ, you need to do that, and you need to do it now. Do not delay. Humble yourself and receive Christ as Savior. But if you're here today as a believer and you've struggled with a lack of peace, I mean, we all have. Let's just be honest, okay? Let's have a time for prayer. And in this time of personal prayer with the Lord, perhaps, you might need just to confess your sin of worry or lack of faith and ask God to grant the peace that he offers. So why don't you just have a time for prayer? I'll pray in just a moment, but you talk to the Lord. I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up and be prepared to lead us in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the community of faith here, just as these prayers are being lifted up to you, Lord. Faith is being revitalized in our hearts, and we're reminded through your scriptures of who you are. You're the God of peace, and you offer peace through these different means. So I pray, Lord, that we would take advantage of the means that are offered to us by you to have peace in the situations that we face. You know every one of them, some very, very, very difficult, some just maybe a minor blip on the screen, but have our hearts rattled a little bit. So let us have our peace in you. And then, Lord, work peace through us, peace in relationships around us. Let us be ambassadors for peace, and that people would see you in the midst of all that. So, Lord, we submit these situations to you. Grant us faith in the midst of them. And we just thank you, Lord, that you care so much about us, that you made peace for us through Christ. And then you offer us peace moment by moment. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.